coming at you from the Hey Yo Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Coming at you live from the AO studio. It's Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We got a great show for you tonight. The Toronto Maple Leafs might be heading to the next round. The Rangers are tied 2-2 in their series. And Jimmy Butler is on the verge of knocking off the Bucks. But we begin today's show. I mean, there's so many headlines. We begin today's show with the Jets finally getting their man. Aaron Rodgers was traded to the Jets on Monday afternoon. He showed up today. The Jets receive Rodgers, the 15th pick this year, and a 5th-round pick this year. The Packers get the 13th pick this year, 2nd-round pick this year, a 6th-round pick, and a conditional 2nd-round pick next year. Z, who won this trade?
Well, let's start with the fact that the Packers are going to get 2 first-round picks out of this. Aaron Rodgers is playing 65% of the time.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
That's what the condition was. Yeah. It wasn't playoff wins. It wasn't MVP leading the league in passing yards. Wasn't leading the league in touchdowns. Wasn't leading the league in any of that. It was, is he going to play 65% of the time? If he's going to do that, then the Packers have earned themselves another first-round pick. Now, in the immediate short term, the Jets have the edge because they got the player, right? Now, you only got him for 2 years. That's what we've been saying from all along. If I was giving up 2 first-round picks, which essentially I'm going to do if I'm Joe Douglas, why wouldn't I go call Baltimore and get a 26-year-old in Lamar Jackson? I'm going to end up giving up 2 first-round picks anyway, plus a 2nd, plus a 6th, for a guy who's maybe going to play 2 or 3 years. I could have gotten 5 or 6 from Lamar, maybe more. So it smacks of desperation. And you got the Chris Russos of the world, everybody at ESPN telling us how much we should love this trade and how much Jet fans should love this trade and not think about the future because you got your quarterback. He's 39. I'll be 39 in August. You don't want me under center. I got 2 bad knees and can't throw the ball. So you don't want me, you don't want him under center. Not for long. So, in the short term, the Jets got their guy, yes. You can build around him for the short burst, like Tampa did with Tom Brady, like the Rams did with Matthew Stafford. You surround him with talent, maybe you catch lightning in a bottle, but this is not designed for the long term. Long term, if the Packers get anything out of Jordan Love, or maybe they have the 13th pick, maybe a Will Levis falls to them, or an Anthony Richardson falls to them, or they take a Hendon Hooker. Like, maybe they are hedging their bets on Jordan Love and take a quarterback this year. You know, who's to say? But in the immediate short term, you have to be pleased if you're the Jets because your quarterback is not Zach Wilson. And you have to be pleased if you're the Packers because you're going to get 2 first-round picks out of this. It's hard to say who won the trade. Right now, I'm going to edge long-term towards the Packers because they're set up a little bit more for the future.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think both teams got what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think both teams do win, you know, as far as getting what they wanted. And I'm going to surprise you here. I'm going to be an optimist and say that the Jets did a decent job making this deal. And, you know, everything we say from here on is a what if, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't know. I mean, Aaron Rodgers looked very energized to be there today. He looks like he really wants to play. He looks like he's excited. He's taken 8, which I think was a smart move by him, and not taking 12, even though Namath gave him the blessing on it. Z, the thing I have the hardest time with is this, is you traded assets, right, for Aaron Rodgers. Very good player, top tier quarterback. Even if we bury last year and say, you know, what happened last year happened last year, he's going to be like a good player this year, what have you. I have a hard time believing that regardless of who they surround him with, that in the next 2 years, they're going to be able to beat Burrow, Herbert, Mahomes, and Allen. That's the problem I have with this. It's like, your window is short, right? And who's this? And we don't know if he's going to retire. He might play. I mean, Tom played till 46. He could sure give us 6 years. He can give us 5 years. He can give us 4 years. I could run the whole gamut on this. But to truth be told, I still have them behind the Dolphins, and I still have them behind the Bills in the division. That's the issue I have. Now, from what I've heard from my sources, is what was holding up the trade was the conditional first-round pick. The Jets wanted to be conditional. The Packers wanted a straight-up, I want your first-round pick next year. And the other caveat was swapping first-round picks this year. And that's why the deal got done on Monday, because the draft is tomorrow. So it's like, yo, we want to switch positions. And you know what, Z? I think that is that's the best part of the trade for the Packers. Because now you move in front of the Jets. So what happens if you get the guy the Jets wanted to get, right? That's the problem I have with the trade, is that you essentially are switching with them. And you've been deep diving on each other's rosters for probably the last 3 months to try to get this deal done. So you know what they lack. You know what they need. You know what you want. You know what you need. Now you're not going to get that guy. And then the other part is, and see, I'll pose this question to you. Let's say you're heading into the season. You're having an up and down year. You're 7-7. What do you do? With a month left of the season, you're 7-7. What do you do if you're the New York Jets? Do you keep starting Rodgers and trying to get to the playoffs? Or do you go, fuck, like, we're about, he could give the Green Bay Packers a top 10 pick. That's the problem with the conditional pick.
Yeah, that is
because you're in a tough division, okay? You're not as good as he is. Even Tom had a tough time in Tampa that first year, right? The first couple of games were like, what the fuck is going on? The adjustment's rough, okay? You're not going 13-4. You're not going 15-2. Like, that's not happening, right? You're an 11-6 team, right? That's what we're looking at. So if you're going through this season and you got ups and downs, he gets hurt, your running back gets hurt, Lazard gets hurt, and you're on the cusp of either making the playoffs or not making the playoffs, Z, what do you do?
Well, that's going to be a hard sell on Rodgers.
Right? That's hard.
That's going to be a very hard sell. Because
I don't
this
know.
Guy, is not, he's not going to want to punt on the season. Like, that's just not who Aaron Rodgers is.
Well,
said the right things. Now, he said the right things about how, you know, Green Bay will always be a place in my heart and things and that. But you know in your heart of hearts that if he had the opportunity to fuck over the Green Bay Packers, he's going to take the opportunity to fuck over the Green Bay Packers, because he feels slighted by them. Whether or not that's true, he feels slighted by the organization. Now, in the ultimate pettiness, maybe there's something there. But at the end of the day, I think that the competitor in him would weigh out. Now, as an organization, you can't afford to have this guy whining and crying and pissing and bitching and moaning. especially to his press secretary, Pat McAfee. Like, you can't have that. So my question is Pat going to get his own office in Forum Park? But if you're at 7-7, it's going to be a hard sell with this player. Because at the end of the day, he's going to want, he's going to want to compete. He's going to want to go. And you're going to, can't sell him on, it's in the best interest of the organization for you not to play. Unless he's playing like shit. At which point, it's just like, no, go ahead. Strap it up.
That's the thing. Is like, we just, I mean, the dude lost to the Lions in the last game. Like, you know, so there's motivation for him to play well and do well. And I'm not, I think he will do well. But, you know, it's funny that Pablo Torre said something interesting, I thought, today on TV, where he said, this is a weird situation because, like, all the Jets fans are excited because they wanted Rodgers and they got Rodgers. But everyone who hates the Jets are also excited because the Jets got Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Like, because they're looking for it to fucking go down in flames, where the Jets fans are like, no, man, we're going. We're going to do this. And you can't. You can't compare what Aaron's doing to what Tom did or to what Matthew Stafford did. There's a lot of different variables in that, right? It's a different conference. It's a different division. It's a different league, okay? Patriots have been super quiet. That's got to make you nervous. The Dolphins are, if Tua's healthy, man, the Dolphins are going to be good. Buffalo is already good. Like, so I think, you know, I'm sure he's up for the challenge, and I actually do think he's going to play well. But the caveat is the Jets have put themselves in a sticky situation. Like, there's all upside for the Packers, man. There's all upside. Because you know what, Z, if the Packers suck this year, guess what? They're getting a top 10 pick next year, and they'll be able to start over at quarterback, right? The Jets don't have that luxury. That's the problem. And I don't, the part of it, I don't like the swapping of the one picks for the Jets. I think that hurts them. And you could be in a situation where at the end of the year, you're pulling a Dallas Mavericks situation because you're like, fuck, we kind of need this pick, and I don't know what we're going to do. But
they put themselves in a horrible position. It is a horrible position.
You're all in. You're all in. You're all in on this guy. And you know, one of the things I thought was interesting this year at the press conference, he said that I'm not a savior, dude. That's what they're looking at you as, man. Yeah, I mean, he said other good things about like the Lombardi Trophy being lonely and. Dude, the AFC is stacked, man. You are in a division where any one of those teams could come out as the top seed in that division.
You know what would be the most ironic thing of it all is if Tua gets hurt, and who's the backup quarterback for the Miami Dolphins?
Mike White.
Mike fucking White.
Well,
exactly.
We know this already, though. We know Mike White is going to play against the Jets and win that game. Yes. I know it because the same thing happened when the Jets traded for Favre. Uh-huh. They sent Pennington to the Dolphins, and lo and behold, come December, Pennington comes into MetLife Stadium. At that time, it was Giant Stadium, or MetLife Stadium, and he beats the Jets and knocks the Jets out of the playoffs and wins the division for the Dolphins. It will happen. I promise you, it will happen. Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood. You know, like we talked about, the NFL draft is tomorrow. We know certain teams are in the market for a quarterback, and it's hard to know how players are going to pan out in the NFL. But Z, which players are you interested in seeing drafted in the first round, and who do you think will make an impact right away?
Well, I'm interested to see where CJ Stroud goes after the S2 cognition test thing, which it's relatively new. They're trying to find things to replace the Wonderlic, and Stroud scored very well. And it makes you wonder if scouts and if organizations are going to be scared off by that because it is so relatively new. I'm interested to see where Jalen Carter goes after his off-the-field stuff. Are teams willing to overlook that because he is such a talented defensive lineman? I want to see what's going to happen with this quarterback situation. You know, we're gonna order up our top five later, but there's a possibility that it can be four quarterbacks. Possibility
in the top of, 10. Right? Of,
possibly at number one, you have your choice of four. It could be any of those guys. I don't think that any one of them is a lock to be sure. So at that point, it's musical chairs and the Bijan Robinson thing.
Yeah.
Bijan Robinson, how high does he go? Are there really teams that see him as that Saquon Barkley touched by the hand of God Dave Gettleman thing? Or are they scared off by running backs in the first round because of the Saquon Barkley thing? Strangely enough, both sides are true. So, where does Bijan Robinson end up? I still think Dallas. But we will see what happens there.
Dallas, Dallas pick. He's not going all the way at 26.
No, Dallas will move up. Dallas can move up. Why not?
Yeah.
So, if we're looking at it, who can move back? The Bears could possibly move back. The Eagles could move back from 10. There are plenty. The Patriots are at 14. The Patriots are notorious for trading back. Let's see what happens. I have a feeling there's going to be a few maneuvers, and it wouldn't surprise me if a couple of established players get moved too. We saw that last year. Would DeAndre Hopkins surprise anybody? It wouldn't necessarily surprise me if D-Hop got moved at the deadline last year. Look what happened to A.J. Brown. So it's within their own possibility, but as far as the individual stories that most intrigue me, Stroud, Robinson, and Carter.
Yeah, so for me, my number one is Bijan Robinson. I think he's going to make an impact right away. I know we're going to talk about our top five picks, but I have him going number 8 to Atlanta. I think they're ready for his talent. He's been compared to Price Holmes, Jamal Charles, Ricky Williams. He's that style of a back. Yeah. And I believe it. I've seen him play. He's a Texas kid too. He looks good. Jalen Carter kind of pissed me off. I don't like how he wouldn't go see any teams outside the top 10. Dude, don't you understand that teams could trade up to get you? Why wouldn't you go see teams outside of the top 10? You're just being stupid and ignorant. Sorry. That's just right away. I'm not interested in you anymore. I'm not sure where he's going to go. Will Anderson Jr. is another one that's interesting to me because he reminds me of a Donta Hightower. He's that big edge rusher from Alabama. There's rumors of the Texans possibly taking him, which would be really interesting if they didn't take a quarterback. And I think he can make an impact on a team. I think what you're saying, CJ Stroud, I'm just wondering how teams evaluated these guys and how they're going to fall. To me, CJ Stroud he's just as good as Justin Fields. So if you like Justin Fields, he can play at that caliber. Bryce Young, I think he's he's suited for. He's a system quarterback, in my opinion. But he can put the ball wherever he wants, and I think he's going to have success. I think Stroud and Young are going to have success. I'm not sure about Levis. I'm not sure about him. I mean, a Kentucky quarterback is not a lot of history behind it.
It's Tim Couch.
Yeah.
It's bad history. Yeah.
Yikes. That's not who you want to be compared to, like, you know, on the stage. I think Zay Flowers is going to make an impact this year. I mean, to me, he's my, I had him ranked as my top wide receiver. I think he's explosive. He's fast. He reminds me of a Santonio Holmes. I had him rated higher than Hyatt. But tomorrow is like, it's like, who wants to be a millionaire, right? It's like you're watching all these kids like win the lotto, right? Because they're all winning the lotto tomorrow. They're all getting like $1 million contracts, and they haven't even played it down in the NFL.
No, it's you are even the worst situation, right? We can arguably say that the Houston Texans are the worst situation in football, right? In the NFL. Whoever goes at number two, your life is just going to change immediately. Like, and if you are the guy that helps resurrect that moribund franchise, that is even better. So, you know, things are definitely going to change for the players. Luck can change. Luck can
Wait,
change.
Wait, sticking with the Texans for a minute. You saw the report about Nick Caserio possibly being outed after the draft. That would just be odd.
Yeah. So what is, you know, why would he be acting in good faith at that point?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, outside of just being a professional, you know, I don't see that holding water or even making sense. If he's out, he's not making the picks. There's no way in hell he should be making the picks if he's going to leave.
Yeah.
That just makes absolutely no sense. But it's the Houston Texans. They had a chance to take...
Well, how about this, Z? The Houston Texans need to get this pick right, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Colts are picking at 4. Mm-hmm. So could you imagine, like, the Texans picking, like, Stroud, and the Colts picking Levis, and Levis goes on to be in like a Hall of Famer and beating their ass for like the next 16 years.
They'd never live that down,
right?
They would
like
absolutely.
It's tough when your division rival is like within a couple of picks of you,
right?
You know, well, because you really got to get this right, man.
Or you just like, you know, Daryl Stingley, like that was a little out of nowhere last year, so. Like, you value your player. I understand that. And D'Amico Ryans, the new head coach, he's not totally sold on drafting a quarterback, right? So, like, depending on who goes first.
Right, because they're trying. Right.
If Anderson's available at 2, or if somehow they like the attitude of Carter, maybe you take him at 2. Or maybe you want to shore up the offensive line and take Skoronski from Northwestern. But, you know, there are ways that you can go. And, you know, it's a stretch. It's all a stretch. But it goes against everything you see based on what your need is. What's the thing that would turn your franchise around is hitting on that quarterback. Because unless you believe in Davis Mills.
All right, well, what they're trying to say about D'Amico Ryans is that he's got a 6-year deal. So it's not like there's pressure to win right away. So he can get away with taking the best defensive player in the draft this year and then, you know, looking for a quarterback next year. But, you know, talking about, like, your division rival picking a couple of picks after you, I always think back to that 2008 draft where the Jets took Vernon Golston at number 6 and then the Patriots took Jared Mayo at 10. And the whole thing was, it's like Jared Mayo was rated higher, and the Jets decided to go with Golston, and it was a disaster, like a fucking disaster.
That's why you don't take the workout warrior at the combine. Robert Gallery, right? Robert Gallery was a workout warrior. Who else? You have a lot of examples of guys that just wow you and they have no substance, right? Mike Maiola. He was great in the weight room, sucked on the field. Like Tony Mandrich, great in the weight room, sucked in the field. Like you can't, it's not bodybuilding. You have to be able to play.
No.
And you can't be wowed by a guy like a Vernon Golston, or the Jets did it again, Vlad Dukas. They did it twice. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, teams are getting better at diagnosing talent, and they're getting better at, you know, kind of seeing who the projects are going to be. The one thing that's different now than back then is that, you know, a player like a Vernon Golston might have been plugged into a Swiss Army kind of role, kind of like what the Cowboys are doing with Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons is a positionless player. Yeah, he lines up as a linebacker, but he's an edge rusher. He can drop back in coverage if you need him to. He's a linebacker. Like, he's a Swiss Army. He's a positionless player. So, you know, teams will take those guys based on raw athletic ability, and they'll make something out of them. But if it's all show muscle, but it's not, it all show no go is not going to work in the NFL these days.
If you want to get on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com. Slide in our DMs on IG @faderoutepodcast. Drop us a DM on Twitter @FadeRouteDNZ. Comment on our YouTube channel, The Fade Route with DNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it, we want to hear from you. Get at us, in crowd.
Speaking of show and go, it was the Jimmy Butler show as we move over to the NBA playoffs. Playoff Jimmy had a 56-point night and was able to give the Miami Heat a 3-1 lead over the Giannis-less Bucks on Monday night. So, if the Heat eliminate the Bucks, would this be a good thing or a bad thing for the NBA?
Dude, you're going to be surprised at my answer. I'm going to say it's going to be a horrible thing for the NBA. And I like Jimmy Butler, and I like the Miami Heat. But let's be real, the reason why they would be moving on is because Giannis was hurt in game one and hasn't been able to play to his best ability. And this is what I'm talking about. And this is what I keep talking about with the NBA. These games are waste of time. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see an upset. I don't want to see an 8-1. I don't want to see it. I want to see the best teams play. Even the Boston series, the Hawks are hanging around. It's wearing Boston down. It's going to ruin it for later on. Like, and listen, I love Jimmy Butler and I love the Heat, but listen, if it's all about the playoffs, then let's get to the playoffs quicker. Then let's play only 40 games, 50 games, or 60 games, and let everybody make the fucking playoffs. Like, there's no point in playing an 82-game season and then having a 7-game series with a 1-8, if 8's going to beat 1 or 2 is going to beat 7. I mean, the Laker thing is a lot different because, in my opinion, the Lakers are better than Memphis, and Memphis really shouldn't even fucking be there. Like, you know, that's just my, you know, it's my personal opinion. But yeah, I think it's going to change the dynamic of the entire playoffs if the Miami Heat are able to beat Giannis and the Bucks.
And what I mean by Giannis list, look at this. 38-27, right? He played almost 40 minutes. The numbers he put up, that's not Giannis. That's like a pod person of Giannis. That's like they flip-flopped Brook Lopez and Giannis. Like, Brook Lopez had 36 points.
He's playing his ass off.
36-11. He had a double-double. So, like, he is stepping up as Giannis is less of who he is. And it's not great when your stars, and this is a star-driven league, for your best players, right, your marquee players, to not be in the playoffs or not make deep runs in the playoffs, it's bad for the overall product. It is.
It's a shit product already, and you're just going to make it worse.
Well, you have Jimmy Butler is doing an admirable job of carrying his team. Right? That's what Jimmy Butler does. He needs to step up majorly, especially since Tyler Hero's out, right? Because they don't have they don't have a lot in the way of the shooting. Let's be real here. The next person in terms of points was Bam Adebayo with 15. Jimmy at 56. The next highest score is 15 points.
They scored half of their freaking points.
That's insane. That's unsustainable.
No, next round, absolutely not. And yeah. and everybody's passing Jimmy the ball and watching him go to work. You watch the last 5 minutes of that game. It's all it was. Kyle Lowry, Bam, all of them were just tossing it to Jimmy and getting out of his way. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm talking about. Like, if you, like, let's look at the other parts of the East, right? The Sixers beat the Nets, swept, right? Because the Nets didn't have any of their players that got them to be the sixth seed. Now, you have the Celtics, a 2 playing a 7, and they're in a heated battle with the Hawks. The Hawks and the Celtics are in a heated battle, and the Sixers are just waiting for this Celtics team. Like, how does that work? They gotta waste their time playing the Hawks, who won a play-in game just to get here, where we can't watch the 76ers and the Celtics play right now, right? Wouldn't that have been such the better way to go, is let me watch the Celtics and the 76ers in a 7-game series right after the playoffs? Like, you're telling me that wouldn't be a better product than watching the Celtics play the Hawks, and we got to waste our time with this only to see the Celtics get into the round with the 76ers and be exhausted?
Well, I mean, let's look at the other side of the bracket, too. If Miami happens to win and they knock out the champs, the Knicks are waiting for them in the next round. So, a rested Knicks team who dispatched the Cavs, they're playing much better, they're deeper. Don't be shocked if the Knicks beat the Heat and end up in the conference finals.
They totally could. I mean, Randall got hurt, I heard, in the game, and hurt his ankle pretty bad. But, yeah. And then, okay, right. Now I got a 5-seed New York Knicks team instead of seeing a Bucks team. And I got to see them play probably like the 76ers.
Probably, yeah. It's not what you'd hope for. But the league doesn't sell you on the team. The league sells you on the player. So they're not going to say, oh, it's the Knicks versus the Sixers. It's Jalen Brunson versus James Harden. Not that that matters. But, that's the sizzle, right? It's the sizzle, not the steak. The next round of playoffs, you have Nuggets Suns, right? You're going to talk about that 4-man starting lineup against Murray and Jokic, and that's what they're going to sell you on.
And you look at the other side. Look, and you can even talk about the Grizzlies and the Lakers. Like, even though I said, you know, I had the Lakers beating the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies really shouldn't be a 2-seed. But in this series, Ja got hurt and missed a game, which led to the Lakers being up 3-1 right now. Like, and now the Grizzlies are going to have to battle back. And if they're able to battle back, they're going to wind up having to play a Kings or a Warriors team. I'd rather just skip to the good stuff. I want to see the Grizzlies play like the Kings, or even the Grizzlies play like the Warriors. Like, why do I got to waste my time with trash? If you don't care about a regular season, then let's get rid of the regular season. Go from regular season to, like, I don't know, elimination tournament to then the playoffs. Like, let's eliminate the bullshit. You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google. We talk about the NBA playoffs like it's dog shit, because it is, but hockey playoffs are legit. And unfortunately, man, our Rangers are struggling. Rangers had a 2-0 series lead heading into Saturday night, and they're going over to MSG, and then all of a sudden they're down 2-1. Now the series is tied 2-2 and they're going back to Jersey. Z, what is going on in this series? How do you lose the first game in Madison Square Garden with that crowd and that atmosphere, and you're outscoring the Devils 10-2, and from that point forward, the Rangers just can't get anything going?
You have to credit the Devils for making adjustments.
Yeah.
It starts with Akira Schmidt in goal.
Yeah.
Vitek Vanacek is smaller. He's a butterfly goaltender. He gets low. The other goalie, Schmidt, is 6'5". So you have an adjustment. The Rangers need to make an adjustment in terms of how to attack this guy. Scoring on him is not going to be easy. As a big guy, you got to get him before he goes down. Once he gets into his butterfly, you're trying to shoot high. You have to shoot low. He's tall.
Damn it.
Damn it. Shoot low. And Trocheck actually got it.
Yeah.
You got to be low with it. That's why Trocheck was able to score. But the Rangers' speed is being neutralized by the neutral zone trap that the Devils are running. They're running a 1-2-2, and it's very difficult for the Rangers to penetrate that. And how do you get through that? Quick passes, dump, and chase. The Rangers aren't doing that. They're trying to skate through it, and you're skating into trouble every single time, and the Devils are able to counterattack. Now, the Jack Hughes goal, that was a great goal by Jack Hughes.
He's damn good.
He's a good player. The Rangers never had a shot at him because the Devils were going to take him all the way. So you can't be mad that the Rangers have Kaapo Kakko because they never had a shot at Jack Hughes. They were 1-2 that year, right? They were 1-2 that year. Devils got Hughes, Rangers got Kakko. You can't be upset with how Kaapo Kakko is playing, especially on the kid line with Lafreniere and Phil Kiedle. So that first goal, the Rangers didn't finish. The Devils capitalized. Jack Hughes used his speed, and he beat Shesterkin. So the Rangers need to get back to doing what they were doing on the power play. Right? Drawing penalties, Chris Kreider gets your big ass in front of the net. That's how you're able to score your goal. Yes, you're fast, but you're also big. So you need to be able to screen the goalie, get in front, second chance opportunities, and you need to capitalize on them. So for who I'm looking at, Panarin had great opportunities, couldn't convert. Tarasenko had great opportunities, couldn't convert. Kane's been MIA in this
series. Yeah, what's his deal?
Kane looks slow. Kane looks like he doesn't look like he's there
right now.
Looks like
he just got off the bus, man.
Now, these are the guys that need to pick it up. Right? Zibanejad got a score. Right? Truba's been there. Fox has been there. The kid line has been there. The fourth line is playing great. They're playing their asses off. Goudreau and Vizi, they're bringing it. They're absolutely bringing it. But the big guys, the top six, they need to come and they need to deliver the goods. Panarin needs one so desperately. Artemi Panarin needs to score like yesterday. The Rangers are doing the job. They're doing the job. Because who has scored, right? Hughes, Halla, Dougie Hamilton, and Siegenthaler. Like, that it's consolidated. It's pretty consolidated. You're holding a lot of that team down. The Devils are a very good team, and you're managing to hold them down. Now your big guys have to get back to where they were. Now, Kreider did a great job in the first two games, and the Rangers laid it on them. We have a series now because the Devils aren't going away quietly.
Well, the first team to win a home game wins the series?
We'll find out. That's going to have to be the case, but the way it's going, that home ice doesn't really mean much in these playoffs. The road team actually has a win.
I don't think they have
a winning record.
Yeah, I just don't think that I don't think the Rangers could go to Jersey, lose, and still win this series. I feel like if the Devils win at home in the next game, they're going to wrap it up at MSG. It's just what I feel like, because they don't look like they're in it anymore. Like, they don't look like it was the first two games. I mean, come on, Z. They had a power play in the first 2 minutes of game three. What the fuck, man? And the crowd is deafening. It's Madison Square Garden. How are you going to let these young punks come in here and take you to overtime? To overtime.
That game was just a mad scramble.
And Gallant's getting at him. I can see he's getting at him.
He's getting at them, but what is he doing? Like, yelling at them isn't helping. What did Lindy Ruff do that Gerard Gallant did not do? Made the adjustments. Brendan Smith sucked? Okay. You're out. Siegenthaler, you're in.
Who wants to play hockey today?
Right. You the most, you the second most, you are useless. No, you actually, you the most, you the second most. 10D, you're the worst fucking player on our team. Lindy Ruff is actually making some changes. If things aren't working, he's changing them. And the funny thing is that Gerard Gallant, like, he was just rotating personnel and changing lines all year. Now all of a sudden he's not doing that. It seems against type. So, you know, kudos to Lindy Ruff. And let's not forget that Lindy Ruff coached a lot of these guys because he was a Rangers assistant before he took the Devils job. So
Devils,
he knows how to exploit them.
The Devils are just so fast. They're just super fast.
How do you neutralize speed? Like, that's the key. How do you neutralize the speed of this guy? You got to put bodies on.
Yeah,
and you got to put it on
and slow him down.
Put it on him legally. Jacob Trouba knows how to hit somebody legally. Like, you know, Barkley Goodrow knows how to lay the wood. Like, go ahead. Go to town. Like, make it happen. Make them uncomfortable to where they're not going to want to engage in a track meet with you.
Exactly. Like, deliver the punishment. We're playing for the cup, man. It's coming down to the last three games here. But another good series that's going on is the Toronto Maple Leafs. They've raced a 3-goal deficit in the third period to beat the Lightning 5-4 and take a 3-1 series lead. Z, is this the year the Leafs get out of the first round?
Let's not jinx it. Oh my god.
The Lightning just can't win game in overtime either.
No.
They cannot win games in overtime. And you would think that's not the case when you've got like one of the best goaltenders in the league, but they suck in overtime. They're awful.
This year, yeah. This year they have not been what you want. That's for sure. But it's about time for the Maple Leafs, right? It's shit or get off the pot.
You got Stamkos out there trying to fight people. Never seen that before.
Stamkos and Austin Matthews are throwing down. Like, that's amazing.
That's where we are right now.
That's playoff hockey right there. Like, that's what I'm talking about. The two captains dropping the gloves and having a scrap.
Are we going to fight right now? Is this really happening?
You want to go? You want to go? Okay. Like, what year is this? What fucking year is this that we're doing that? But you figure it would catch up to the Lightning eventually. That just being on the right side of all the breaks, eventually things would even out. Now, they were running... They did run
I disagree with you. I disagree with you only because of their goaltender. Like, he's literally, like, the top five goaltender. And you would think that he would be the one to keep them in, but he's given up goals left and right. Like, unreal. Like, Vasilevsky, really? 4 and 5 goal games? I mean, you know the Lightning can put up points. You know they play hard. But one of the things that they usually don't do is give up that many goals, and they are.
Yeah, but look at that defense. It's not the same defenseman, right? And one thing about Vasilevsky, yes, but you don't have the same D core in front of him, right? You had Strahlman, and you had McDonough, and you had defensive anchors. You still have Sergachev, yes. You still have Victor Hedman, yes. You don't even have Kevin Shattenkirk anymore. Right? You're relying on Zach Bogosian and Ian Cole. Like, that's all you need to know about this. Like, it's not the same caliber of defense you're putting in front of Andrei Vasilevsky. So, even if, you know, even if he's standing on his head, they're still going to barrage him with shots. And the law of averages just dictates that eventually it's going to turn. You know, he faced 27 shots in the last game. It adds up. Now, Braden Point?
Isn't Braden Point like the best player in the league? Is he not the best player? He's like the best player in the league, like, in my opinion.
Braden Point is one of the best players in the league. But as long as Connor McDavid is breathing, he's not going to be number one. So, you know, you have Stammer, you have Brandon Hagel, the offense is still there. And that's evident in the series. Like, they're still scoring. You need to be able to play in front of your keeper. And all you need to know is this. In terms of block shots, in the last game alone, Tampa Bay had 15, Maple Leafs had 26. They're getting down. Tampa Bay's getting down. They're getting in front of it. Elias Samsonov's not a bad keeper. He's not a bad goaltender. He's actually pretty good. But they're putting Luke Shen. They're putting Morgan Riley. You have Mark Giordano. You have
Giordano's having a really good series.
Legit veteran defensive players in front of your goalie. So they're laying out, they're making the plays, they're doing what needs to be done to keep their team in it, and then they can transition to where a guy like Nola Chiari can score. You know,
they can score, man. Matthews, Tavares, those guys can put up points if they needed to.
Yeah, but you know what? Tavares is also a -3.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, well, he was a -3 in the last game, so as much as... As good as John Tavares is with the puck, defense, not exactly a strong suit. So it's one of those things that it's interest. You need to have an interest in that. And that's why they got a guy like
Ryan. Defense is always effort, right?
It is. Defense is max effort. Now you look at a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, he's a max effort guy. And that's why they've got him from St. Louis. He's a guy who could end up being an X factor. And it wouldn't surprise me if it went to overtime again that O'Reilly is the guy that puts the death knell in the Tampa Bay Lightning. So he's the kind of guy that was missing from this group of very skilled players, but lacking that grit, lacking that toughness, lacking that desire. Yeah, Austin Matthews is very good. He is very good. But it's one thing to be very good. It's another thing to take it to that next level. It's the playoffs. You've got to be able to go to places that you don't normally go. Same thing for Mitch Marner. Like, supremely talented. William Nylander, supremely talented. When the lights are on brightest, can you go to a place? Can you take it to a level that you normally don't go to? And this year, it appears that it's finally clicking. and it's the right opponent at the right time. It's the Maple Leafs are finally getting where they need to be. Now, it's not over yet, but let's not do that. It's not over yet. The Maple Leafs have blown and will continue to blow leads like this. And don't count out the Lightning, because they've been there, they've done that, they've raised the cup several times. So I'm not counting my chickens before they're hatched, but the Maple Leafs have certainly put up a better, they've certainly put up a better performance and a better account than they have in years past. Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their hoodies, snapbacks, graphic tees, accessories, and more. Season 3 merch is up now. Get it while you can. Go to fckclout.com and get all of your needs for men and women. That's fckclout.com.
More or less?
All right, boys and girls, here's how it goes. We have a statement. It's either more likely or less likely that it's going to happen. More or less, number one, Aaron Rodgers helps Zach Wilson develop into an NFL quarterback.
I mean, to me, this is less likely. You know, he comes from the school of tough love. You know, he always talked about Brett really didn't show him any love, and I don't think he's going to do that. I mean, I think it's going to be nice for Zach to play alongside his idol and a guy he wants to emulate and be like, you know, someday. But I don't see Rodgers putting anything into this relationship.
Absolutely less likely. Absolutely. I'm not even... Ask Jordan Love about his relationship with Aaron Rodgers. If he spoke to him, I'd be surprised. Because, like you said, this is a study in psychology. When Aaron Rodgers was drafted out of Cal, Brett Favre wasn't exactly happy. So he treated him like shit. That's a rite of passage, right, in the NFL. You earn your stripes.
I think Jordan Love's going to be great. I think he's going to play well. I'll take him on my fantasy team.
We'll find out. But you know what? It's not the job of the incumbent veteran to teach you how to become a professional. Right? Like Ryan Tannehill did this year. Ryan Tannehill taught Malik Willis, right? You're teaching the guy behind you to take your job.
Yeah.
Like that's the mentality.
I don't know.
That's the mentality of it.
I don't know. I think it's the job of the starter to present competition, compete, show the younger guy or show the rookie or show the backup how to compete at a high level. You know, I think that's fair. Like, you know, the kid's gonna come to you with questions, answer his questions. The kid wants to work out with you, let him work out with you. Talk to him about reads and what you do. I think that's fair. You don't got to be staying up late with him or having him come over your house and showing him film. That doesn't need to happen. But I do believe the starter should take the younger guy under the wing in some retrospect. You know, some guys are gifted and talented. Your Andrew Luck of the world, your Dan Marinos that don't need, you know, anybody showing them anything. But then there's people like Zach Wilson who shouldn't have got drafted at number two and needs a lot of help.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like, is Aaron Rodgers, what's his mission here?
To win.
Is it, his mission is to win.
Right.
He's not here to be a wet nurse for,
yes,
Zach Wilson.
100%.
So, you know, his job, his mindset is very clear. Nathaniel Hackett's job as offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach job is to make Zach Wilson
it
better.
It was made very clear to me what I'm supposed to do here. I come out, wave my little hat. When do I get paid?
I move in the third inning where you scratch the balls for an hour.
Well, anything worth doing is worth doing right.
Absolutely. But it falls on the coaching staff, and this is where the Jets have failed Zach Wilson in the years previous. Right? Having Matt LaFleur's little brother there, you know,
somehow
not
got a job.
Well, apparently he's very good friends with Sean McVay and knows that he doesn't like the crust on his peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So, you know, it's the job of the coaching staff to make sure that everybody's ready to go. Now, if Zach Wilson is playing this year, that means he's on another team. Or something has gone catastrophically wrong. And the Jets get to keep their first round pick. So there's that. So I don't think that there's going to be anything there other than, hey, Aaron, who the fuck are you? Don't look at me in the eye. More or less, number two, Aaron Hicks gets DFA'd by the Yankees in May.
Jeez, man, this has got to happen, right? I'm going to say more likely. I can't imagine this man playing any longer. It's becoming a detriment to him. I mean, he's getting booed. It's just, him playing is just awful. It's off. People are starting to feel bad for him. You get overly excited for a seeing eye single, but he doesn't even get those.
Oh, he's become Jerry Johnson. That's terrible. That's awful. But I still don't feel bad for him. I'm sorry. It's more likely he's going to go, and he's deserved every bit of this ridicule. He can't stay on the field. When he's been on the field, he's been a disaster, and now he can't hit. Like, plain and simple. The only saving grace is that they traded him for John Ryan. They traded John Ryan Murphy for him, and John Ryan Murphy became nothing. Otherwise, they really regret this.
He's batting 129.
129.
In 13 games and 34 plate appearances.
129.
He's got four hits and 31 at bats. God. He has one RBI and three walks. 10 strikeouts.
He has an OPS of 335. An OPS of 335. Not
war,
a batting average of 335. An OPS.
His war is negative 0.4.
IKF is a better option in the outfield than you. It's a prop. The problem with the Yankees is that their depth is really bad at the moment. Because you're looking at Stanton is out. He wasn't going to play the outfield anyway. But Stanton is out. So you need to play somebody. Bader is eventually going to come back. So Harrison Bader definitely will inject a spark, you hope. Because then you're looking at IKF, who's actually been pretty good defensively. Offensively, you know, he is who he is. But he's been decent defensively. Oswaldo Cabrera. Judge is Judge. But then you're looking at the back end of it. It's Franchy Cordero, Willie Calhoun. And then in the minors, you don't have anything. You outrighted Esteban Florial. You have Everson Pereira is the only other outfielder that's on the 40-man roster. So anything that's going to happen, you'd have to get a guy onto the 40-man roster. Well, there's a way to do that. DFAing Aaron Hicks. So if you need to make the move, you need to make the move. Now, maybe he's a change of scenery guy. Maybe the Twins want him back. The Twins seem to be stockpiling at the Yankees. It worked with Gio Urshela. It worked with Gary Sanchez. It worked with Sonny Gray. It worked with Joey Gallo. Maybe send him back to Minnesota, get a bag of balls and, you know, a Juicy Lucy and call it a day. Like, but he cannot be here any longer. he just can't be here any longer because he's got a target on his back, and you know he's got that fuck you in him, right? He wanted that fuck you in him. No, it's over. It's over. Make it happen, Cashman. More or less, number three, Ime Udoka will have similar success in Houston like he did in Boston.
Well, I think it all depends on the draft. I mean, they really need to get Wembanyama. I think if they're able to get him, I think he will be able to coach him well. I don't think this team, the way they're structured right now, that they're going to make the playoffs like next year. They have decent players, but nobody on this team is worth a damn. It's not like you're walking into it, you know, with Jalen, I can't remember his name, but it's not like you're walking into Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown. You know, you got Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr.
Jabari Smith, Frank Kaminsky, yeah. Yeah, this is quite the mix. You have Boban.
Boban!
Boban.
Boban, Boban bag? Toby bag. I love that commercial.
You got Boban. Is that a plate? Is that a bowl made out of your hand? Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, they just, to round out their roster at the end of the year, they had to go sign Willie Cauley-Stein. Like, they had to just find somebody to take this roster. It's bereft. It's completely bereft of talent. Right? Jalen Green, we'll see what he becomes. But where is it? I don't see it. Now, the only thing that could make a lick of sense, because it is an extremely young team, is if they package guys and try and bring in a superstar. Or if they blank check a guy. Right, here, just come revalidate our team. Now, the rumor, and it's a rumor because I don't buy it for a friggin' second, is that James Harden would go back to Houston. For who? For what? As Ricky Waters once said, there's nothing there. So unless Ime Udoka is a magician, I don't see how he's going to do that. I don't see how he's going to replicate any of this. Because his success was based on what? Having studs. There are no studs here. There are no studs here. And, I mean, the other candidate was Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse isn't a miracle worker either. I don't know who goes into the... I don't know how you go into an interview with this roster and say, yeah, I can work with this. I can fix this. Realistically, Houston is either going to get Wembanyama or they're going to get Brandon Miller. I don't think they're going to fall. I don't think they're going to go much lower than two. I don't think they're going to fall that. They're not going to be that bad. I think they're going to be high in the lottery. So they better hope that they're in Wembanyama. That's the only way that they're going to be relevant. But it doesn't matter that Ime Udoka's there, at least not right now. Jesus could be coaching this team, and it wouldn't matter right now.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the alleged superstar of the week. Here's how it goes. We put up a poll on our Twitter page at FadeRouteDNZ, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets the coveted ass trophy and a shout out on this here show. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
Max Scherzer. Ugh. Don't swear on the lives of your children and then take the suspension. Yes, I understand that you weren't going to get a fair shake. Life isn't fair, Max. Life isn't fair. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
Oh, man. First up, I've got your boy Patrick Kane. Where you been, bro? You have as many goals as I have the last two games. They brought you here to score goals and lift the cup. Let's go. Number two, I got Donovan Mitchell. He had the worst playoff series ever. Good thing you're not a Knick. If you were a Knick right now, you'd be getting killed by the New York media. Before tonight's game, he was averaging 22 points in the series, and he only had 11 points in game four. Yikes. And last and certainly least are the Chicago White Sox. They just lost 8 in a row, and they haven't scored in the last 24 innings. What is going on in Chicago? Those are my alleged superstars of the week. What do you got, Z?
Well, I have a late-breaking one to add to my list. Anthony Edwards.
Oh, jeez.
Third-degree assault. Allegedly swung a chair that struck two female employees following their loss to the Nuggets on Tuesday. Good job.
Brilliant.
Good job, Anthony. Way to go. Fantastic. Way to go, asshole. Job. What the hell are you thinking? It's like, what the hell? You're like, has the NBA not had enough bad looks that they're like, we needed one more?
Has everyone gone mad?
What the fuck? Like, seriously, what the hell? Draymond Green seems reasonable by these standards. But I'm going to stick with the NBA. Dylan Brooks. You want to talk shit about LeBron? Do I call him old? Do I call him bald? Do I call him slow? Do I call him whatever? He hands you your lunch. You punch him in the balls. You get kicked out of the game. And then, rather than face the music with the media, you bounce. You snub them. Be a man. Take your lumps. Otherwise, you're just a chump. Dylan Brooks, you are my alleged superstar of the week. The city of Oakland, for running off not only the Warriors, not only the Raiders, but now the A's as well. The A's have bought property. They've bought land in Vegas. They're moving. They are moving because the Coliseum's a dump. Nobody goes. And the team stinks. The team stinking only has so much to do with the fact that the sewage leaks in the Coliseum. Mount Davis, it's so big that nobody can sit up in the upper deck. And on top of that, it's just how old. It's old, it's unattractive, it's falling apart. But you won't give the A's a new stadium. You don't deserve to keep them if you're not going to work with them. City of Oakland, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, and this is a big one, Tottenham Hotspur getting your doors blown off by Newcastle 6-1 in soccer. 6-1 in soccer. This game was over 20 minutes in. In the 21st minute, Alexander Isak scored the fifth goal. This game was over. Not to mention, you're now on your third manager this year because you fired Cousin Luigi after you fired Antonio Conte for rightfully pointing out how the players are not carrying their weight. There's a reason why the players are giving refunds to the fans, because they know it's on them. Tottenham Hotspur, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. go to our Twitter account at FadeRouteDNZ and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominee. Just do better, boys. Just do better. Love brownies? Of course you love brownies. But you know what's better than a brownie? A delicious, handcrafted, gourmet brownie delivered right to your doorstep. That's what our guys at Sweet Life Brownie Co. offer. Chef Tommy D and the crew offer a dozen delicious delights that you will crave, from the classic OB to Dutch apple to campfire s'mores and many more. Check out their website, sweetlifebrownieco.com, for their Friday brownie drops. At noon, their site goes live and you see what they're making. Since you're there, become a site member and earn points. You earn 50 points just by signing up. Make sure you follow them on Instagram and Facebook too, at sweetlifebrownie_co, for the latest updates and their latest releases and creations. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com. Give them a call, 845-641-3043, and tell them D&Z sent you. That's sweetlifebrownieco.com, 845-641-3043. Sweet Life Brownie Co., because there's always room for a brownie.
Order up!
What that means, ladies and gentlemen, you know what that means. It is time for us to order up.
Order up, order up.
We are doing our special order up of our top five picks in this year's NFL draft. It is tomorrow night. And here we go from 1 to 5. Not 5 to 1, 1 to 5. Who you got, D?
All right, number one overall to the Carolina Panthers, I've got Bryce Young, quarterback, Alabama. Number two, might surprise you, I've got Anthony Richardson, quarterback, Florida, going to the Houston Texans. At number three, no trade here, I've got Will Anderson, defensive end, Alabama, going to the Arizona Cardinals. And number four, I've got quarterback, Ohio State, C.J. Stroud, going to the Colts. And at five, I've got offensive tackle out of Northwestern, Peter Skoronski, going to the Seattle Seahawks. Who do you got, Z?
Solid. Solid picks. With the first pick, the Carolina Panthers select Anthony Richardson, quarterback of the University of Florida. I think Tepper is just going to be so enamored with his skill set and with his athletic ability, he's going to see Cam Newton 2.0.
Well, the story I heard is that the GM walked into Frank Reich's office. They both talked each other, and they both were in agreement with the quarterback that they wanted to select. So let's see if that is what happens tomorrow.
Well, my deal is this. The owner is always going to trump the GM and the coach. If the owner wants a guy, he's going to take the guy. That becomes the issue. And this guy, Tepper, is a temperamental dude. So if he wants something bad enough, he strikes me as the type to get it done. With the second pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Houston Texans select Will Anderson Jr., edge rusher from Alabama. I think D'Amico Ryans is going to get the guy he wants. He wants a guy who can be a game wrecker, and I think that Anderson is going to be that guy for him. This is the tricky one, right? Arizona. But who is going to move up? Is anybody going to move up? Or is Arizona going to be forced to take the pick? I think that Arizona is probably going to be forced to take this pick. Now, what do they need? Linebackers, an offensive tackle, corner, a wideout. With this, like, with them staying put, with the third pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Pete Skoronski, offensive tackle from Northwestern. They want to keep Kyler Murray upright. That's going to be the way to do it. That's going to be the way to do it. Number four, with the fourth pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Bryce Young, quarterback from Alabama. The height is an issue. He's only 5'10", and 5'10 may be generous. But we'll see. He's the most NFL ready. Hopefully, he'll be able to put on a show. But there are a lot of holes on the Colts. A lot. And with the fifth pick in the NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Jalen Carter, defensive lineman from Georgia. I think that Pete Carroll is enamored with the talent. He can coach the character. They've had plenty of guys that have not had the best character, and Pete Carroll has been able to navigate that. And he can turn this kid into a pro mentally.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday night on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay faded, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route, but we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Rate us 5 stars, leave us a review, turn on subscription notifications, and tell your friends. Spread the word, spread it wide.